What's wrong with this guy? Like, who? It's like his manager sucked his dick or something today. Maybe sleep deprivation is doing this to you. Is that too much?
Okay.
I know he's getting run over.
What is that? Is that what you're gonna do to him?
Yeah, I'm gonna run him over.
Right. Wow.
Slowly.
Wow.
Give him a chance to jump out the way.
Wow.
Oh, welcome.
God is watching.
But welcome to another episode of Team Talk. Now I've got myself once again. wait. No one of that was recorded, don't worry. No one of that.
Most of it was.
Yikes.
But yeah, you got me again, Simi.
Victor.
Nina.
Gabs.
Benzino's here.
Alright, so first topic of the day is essentially the World Cup. So what's everyone's opinions on the game?
Mbappe!
Oh my god. But yeah, who wants to start off with their own opinion on it?
I thought it was one of the best World Cups I've ever watched, to be honest.
Yeah,
I only watched three. Three. But the right team won at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The best team won.
Really?
I think France deserved it.
They did.
On the basis of consistency and tactics from the Deschamps.
Okay. Fair enough. But I agree with that. But you see the way, you know, the Clairefontaine, the whole youth setup is they're meant to be raised a certain way, a certain type of playing football. And they have all of these big names that in their clubs, respectively, they ball out. But then for the French team, they're very anti-football. That, obviously, that's how thingy set up. What's his name again? Sorry.
Deschamps.
That's the one. I said Dominique. That's how Deschamps set up. But I don't know. It's almost like it's like a letdown. And it's Croatia were the better team for the most part. First half, definitely. Yes. Until the third goal was scored, maybe. That's when France started to play.
I don't know. I agree with you. I think they could have played out a bit more. Like, play the likes of Lamar. But again, saying that, they've got some players that force you kind of to have an extra midfielder, for example.
Mm-hmm. Like Pogba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They have players like Griezmann that effectively is a striker, but you need another striker to play round Griezmann. So at the end of the day, if you want to take Griezmann, you can't really take a player like
Lacazette.
No.
Not true.
No. Can't take, obviously Benzema was never going, but I can't see Griezmann and Lacazette working as well as Griezmann and Giroud because of the way they just complement each other.
Yeah.
And Matuidi complements Pogba in the way that in the sense that he allows him to do whatever he wants. I saw another side of Pogba that made me think, and I've said this before, he can play just with Kante
himself. Yeah.
And they could easily put Lamar on the left to whip him balls. So I hate Matuidi going forward. But defensively, he's solid.
Yeah.
The way the tournament was going, a lot of teams were playing on a back foot. Seems like Iran just defend, and they got results. A lot of teams that focused more on defending were able to clear out teams that were attacking, like Spain.
Yeah,
that's
even
true.
If you pass, you can't really break because I feel like a lot of managers have clocked on to keeping shape, defending well,
counter-attack,
and one or two goals from
exactly. You can lock off again. It's a tournament. It's not a league.
True.
So, at the end of the day, I think that's what wins over tick-attack of football, free-flowing football.
True.
Yeah.
Do you know what? To echo your point, I read the Arsene Wenger article yesterday, and he said something that was actually quite interesting, that there's two types of sort of managers or styles of coaching. And it's either you have, what is it, a love of winning or a fear of losing. And although they're very similar, they're different. So one's more defensive, one's more attacking.
Mm.
And I think that just sums up Croatia and France perfectly. But for me personally, watching it is one of the best finals I've watched from a like technical, tactical standpoint. Croatia dominated the first half, had all the possession, all the ball, didn't do enough with it, unfortunately, and France just counter-attacked very well, which is the way their team is set up. Mm. They're not a team that's going to, like Spain, dominate the ball, but what they are going to do is sit deep, defend in numbers, soak up the pressure, and they have so much pace and talent in abundance going forward that it's just frightening. Mbappe was beyond scary. That's probably my worst nightmare as a defender. Looking at him, I'd shit myself. He's a baller. So due to that fact, I think they set up very well. But as Gab's pointed out earlier, the way France were at the beginning, they weren't great. I mean, against, I think, Australia, they won 2-1, struggled. Oh, yeah. They weren't great, do you know what I mean? But it took them time to settle in. But once they really clicked, like the Belgian game, got one of the best defensive displays I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They scored the goal, done everything they had to do, and just sat back and defended numbers. And that's what Wenger was saying. Like, it's either you love to attack or you love to defend. Either way, you get the same result.
Yeah.
And I think that's what France done very well. They played to their strengths massively. Pogba was different class in that final. And I'm not his biggest fan, personally. I criticise him because I just feel like he's lazy at times, where he chooses when he wants to play. But when he does that, there's no doubt about it. He's world class. But then when you have people like Mbappe doing what he done in the final, it's different class. But again, Croatia, massive credit to them, because for me, they're probably the best team in the tournament. Although France won it, I feel like just watching Croatia.
I think ever since I saw that performance against Nigeria, and the way they, and the thing is, they were playing in second gear the whole game, yet they still dominated. Against Argentina, they dispatched them. Like, the way Croatia played, I knew there'd be a problem from day one.
Mm.
Not just because of the star midfield that they had. So, like, I agree with that, Ben, where you said that, you know, Croatia, I think, were the team of the tournament based on how they played, the
performances,
tactics.
Yeah.
I disagree. Only on the basis that all I saw from Croatia, they've got three star players, Rakitic, Modric and Perisic, in my opinion.
Agreed.
But what I saw was obviously them being able to manage a game which they've got in midfield because of those two. They can keep the ball very well. But in going forward, all I saw was just the drive, just them wanting it more than anyone else.
Yeah.
That's what
wins you games, though.
Yeah, that is what wins you games when the games are difficult.
Mm.
But they didn't. In the group stage, I don't think they'd have beaten the Nigerian side that played against Argentina or played against Iceland if they're set up the way they set up. I don't think they would have beaten Argentina if they weren't under so much pressure and if they had half a decent backline. Remember, one of the goals came from a silly mistake from
Caballero. That's the last game for Argentina.
Iceland.
That was his last game, definitely.
And Iceland as well. They needed it, so at some point they had to come out. As soon as they came out to play, left everything kind of back. They were basically sitting ducks.
Yeah.
So, and then when they went into the knockout stages, they played Denmark. Denmark, who are a bit more, not composed, they're a bit more organised in defending. They'll give you as much as you give them, basically.
Yeah.
They couldn't hack it. They couldn't really, because they're also fighters. They don't really have many star players. They just fight.
But they're a very good team.
Exactly. And that's what, I didn't think, for me, Belgium were the best team in the tournament on the basis of free-flowing football, creating chances, most of their players playing to kind of their daily potential in terms of how you see De Bruyne at City, you see a little bit of what Lukaku brings, Mertens, Hazard was class in my opinion.
Mm. I can agree with you on that point in terms of actual gameplay watching it. Belgium were probably the most exciting to watch.
Yeah.
But what the difference between Croatia and Belgium is that Croatia, I think, just had that bit more still as a team.
I agree.
In a drive, as opposed to Belgium, who have got, say, superstars pretty much all over the pitch, but they don't have the collective experience as a team to really go that extra step further. But there's no reason why Belgium
in
the Euros can't be the team to beat. Like,
Croatia team has been together for a long time.
But it was interesting, the manager only came in October.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last game to qualify, and then you didn't have
a lot of time to work with.
And to be fair, you look at some of their players like Lovren in that squad.
Mm.
I'm not his biggest fan. I can't stand him, but he's done it right. He's done it right.
He's the world's best centre back.
Shut up.
But then you got my man, the right back. He done well.
He did well in the tournament.
He put in some good balls.
I don't think he's that good.
Vida, who's like 100 years old, but he had a good tournament. They had a good team.
They're a good team.
Individuals are the best.
Oh, you'd only take two, Modric and maybe Perisic, but Perisic is,
and Rakitic as well.
Yeah, I think
Rebic
would get himself like a
he'd get a move to
like
a
Brozovic.
I think he showed enough that he might be able to play on the bigger stage. He's one that I saw hunger. Just pure hunger.
Who?
Rebic.
Yeah.
Like you can see, like all the rest, Modric, like Rakitic, they can play within themselves and still be okay. Rebic, he was going pure, for it. Yeah, like you run into advertising boards if you had to.
And that's what Perisic gives you that no other winger in the world gives you. He's just hungry.
Yeah,
hunger, composure.
Hungry.
I saw Croatia, one of the teams that I enjoyed watching for the pure fact that you'd see like technical moves in their play, like rotations,
yeah,
like pullbacks when players have like opened up space by making a run inside, and
yeah,
I think because of the midfielders they have, they were allowed to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's even why I personally enjoyed watching.
Yeah, it's like just to echo that, like you watch just simple things that they do, nothing yeah extravagant. Like you won't see step overs, free sit, you just saw simple stuff, get on your angle, check your shoulder, half turn, like so effective, close control.
Yeah. What I like about discussion here is that the fact that we're saying all this now, but it makes for me, it's like how we know how good the Croatia team is, but how did England really think that they could just go there and just
gas
beat them just
pure
like
gas
that?
Let's not go into this.
I'll get mad.
Three words. It's coming home. That's how everyone thought they'll beat Croatia. I said it even before we played the round of 16 that we were going to get knocked out by Croatia. Nino said from day one the Croatia are the dark horses. I don't know how and why we came with so much confidence. I get it, we'll gas that semi-final, blah blah blah. And I think one thing that did work in England's favour is the fact that Croatia took penalties every single round
before
touching. Exactly. So we all thought, you know, we can nick a few set pieces, a few headers here and there, Harry Maguire, shit house, get in, come on. And then think that's about it. But clearly, it wasn't to be.
I disagree completely.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. I think Croatia game, in my opinion, should have been rounded up in the first half.
It should have been.
I don't care what anyone says about... Yeah, I think Sterling should have scored. I think Kane should have laid him off for a goal. It would have boosted the confidence. It's what you get at Man City with Sterling. He's not the greatest finisher, as we all know.
Mm.
But those
instances, he would have put that over if he scored it.
Nah, but those instances where a teammate should not hesitate, should do the right thing, considering you're all professional footballers. Mm. Don't think about my man's ability to put a ball in the back of the net. Just trust that he'll do it.
Yeah,
is what's lacking in the England setup that Sterling has in the City.
But I don't understand. You're all professional footballers playing for top teams in your country: Man United, Man City, Liverpool, whoever, Leicester, and how can you not trust your teammate 9 yards away from goal?
But it could also be the fact that at Tottenham, Harry Kane would always try and finish that.
Kane would score that in a Tottenham shirt. That's what bugs me.
Yeah.
Buff would score that with a Tottenham shirt with his hands tied behind his back and blindfolded. Honestly, I don't understand what came over him.
Listen, strikers always miss chances. I'm not gonna lie.
Do you know what?
I think at that stage of the tournament, when you're in the semi-final, you do the right thing for the team all the time.
Big time.
And that's what France do. They do the right thing for the team.
Yeah.
And the one person that's very good at doing that for France is Griezmann.
Yeah.
He has, for me, I think he's overrated, but he has the ability to just kill games.
Yeah.
He knows when to just hold pace up, the game. Yeah. So there might be a counter on and we're 1-0 up. He looks at the time. He goes around three players, just goes around in circles. He still finds the pass, but he's pushing the team up. After that defending, and it's so important in games, and he's got that from playing at Atletico Madrid, obviously. But personally, I think we should have won that game.
Yeah,
Croatia did very well in the second half.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think they created anything. I don't think it was because our defence was shit. I just think they wanted it more.
Yeah, they did.
And
we made mistakes.
There was lapses of concentration. A lot of things went to their favour.
In terms,
it was a game of two halves, though. Like, the first half was all England, second half was all Croatia. But the difference was that we didn't do what we had to, which was kill off the game, miss stupid chances, Kane, Sterling. But, and then from there, it's like we scored too early, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
Too early, because the first half...
If my man said, I'm going to score a free kick in the fourth minute, you're going to say, no, don't score it later on.
But don't rest on your laurels.
And hope that 1-0 lead
will stay until 90.
I agree with
that.
Once they got the one goal, they relaxed a little bit. They thought they could hold on to them and counter. But that didn't materialise. I can't lie. I don't see Kane as a counter-attacking striker. Yeah.
Mm. Even
like,
that.
If we're counter-attacking, I'd want someone like Rashford, Vardy, and Sterling. Yeah, even
Welbeck.
Yeah, even Welbeck.
But in saying that, everyone's getting onto Kane for having a bad tournament and finishing top goal scorer. To be fair, I don't think he had a great tournament. I'm not going to back him by any means. However, what I will say is that he wasn't helped by the setup of the team.
Not at all.
Because if you look at the first half and the second half, it's a prime example I'm talking about. First half, he had chances. Why did he have chances? Because we got the ball, we attacked, and we played aggressive football moving forward. It wasn't pretty, but we done what we had to do.
Did the job, yeah.
Second half, he went from 3-5-2 to 5-3-2.
Yeah.
Them fullbacks not playing high and wide is what cost us the game.
Yeah.
We then dropped deep. We fighting so much pressure. Effectively, Kane's now playing as a cam. He's literally dropping in deep to start just defending.
So
by the time he's then got forward to score, the guy's finished.
Yeah.
So as Sterling,
going forward for England in terms of structure, because clearly that was an issue during the actual games. What do you feel is the best setup for England going forward?
I don't think the structure was the problem.
I mean, as in personnel.
I think it was Southgate not being able to adapt to the current situation.
Okay.
Mourinho will see that and he'll bring on an extra midfielder.
Yeah.
Because Dele Alli is not putting his weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll tell Ashley Young push up
and stay high.
Mm.
Yeah. At some point, if Kane's not doing the work, Sterling's not doing the work, he might switch it to a 4-3-3, which I thought we needed when we got into extra time when we were 1-0, 1-0, it was 1-0, and we had the personnel to do that.
Yeah.
We took the personnel to do that. Okay. But I felt like Southgate wanted to stick to
trust
what
the system.
He knew and trust the system.
It's like the devil,
and
you know, isn't it?
Obviously, he'll learn from that because, like he said, this is not England's team to win it right now, but for the future, and I actually believe
it's a good stepping stone. But like as Simi asked, that the best I personally would never play Sterling as a striker again. He, for me, in tight, small areas, centrally especially, he's not that good. He's more wide,
a little bit more space,
either off the with a lot more space.
Yeah.
Kane in the centre, then on the left, you can't have a Lingard and Ali on the pitch.
It's effectively the same.
Effectively the same player. They're runners, they got on the end of moves. They don't help with the build-up. We need a solid base. Henderson by himself.
But I don't think we have the players for it. I think, like, as we've said before,
I think
the players that you're going to have to bring to do the build-up play are people like Wilshere, Lallana, and Shaw.
Not necessarily.
Are you going to bring on Dyer to do creative?
Eric High driving reverse Dyer.
If that's what you're suggesting, I'd rather shoot my foot. Henderson's passing is poor as well.
So
you don't want to trust him. You let him sweep up, but you don't want him to start the attack because that starts a counter-attack against yourself.
But I think we could have brought Milner out of retirement because he offers a bit more balance. He'll run. He'll do the legs.
Yeah.
Chamberlain was a big miss. But since he was injured, I thought we should bring Milner back.
I'm surprised because
he's not Harry Kane. If Harry Kane was the one that was retired, or someone that's like a big name in their England team,
there's options available.
There's options. I think he took a risk. Southgate, and I think he wanted to play Kane and Ali in the same team.
Yeah.
I reckon Lingard starts in any game for me. Lingard starts,
100%.
But you need that experience in midfield, just like we had in defence with Young, and obviously Kane is an elite striker.
Yeah.
We all know that. If Milner went to the tournament, I think he would have brought the defensive aspects.
Yeah.
He would have had a little bit more composure. He's just finished the Champions League where he created the most chances.
Mm. And at least been a link between defence and attack.
And he would be a link.
What's missing?
When we're not defending so well, he'll drop comfortably and allow Lingard press, Sterling press. So I think we might have made a mistake by not taking him. Delph should have got more minutes as well.
Why do you think he didn't get more minutes? I'm surprised he didn't get
more. Yeah, but he was a bit all over
Croatia,
the place, though.
Croatia should have had minutes.
Yeah,
not in any other game.
Well,
I think Loftus-Cheek should have had more minutes.
In that game, he needed to.
If anyone was hard done by Loftus-Cheek, because he had a good game. And with Ali's not performing, he can do a job.
My issue with Loftus-Cheek this World Cup was the fact that the way the system was set up, he was put out on the right hand side. He's not a winger. I want him centrally.
He drifts.
Or like a,
I've watched him do that more as well. He drifts to the left. He drifts. Even at Chelsea, he drifts to wing position. That's how he plays.
Create space.
He's not really a centre mid. He's just a 10 that moves around.
To cause problems centrally, whether it's bursting past or couple passes.
I think a part of it was due to the fact that they were playing like a 5-3-2 or...
Yeah. What, 3-5-2
formation.
Yeah.
Because when you're actually... When you're... Like your opponents are in possession, three midfielders need to make sure they're coming out and stopping them from progressing down the wing, so they're kind of forcing them back.
True.
So I think that's an avenue, because obviously by the time he comes back in, they could have won the ball, and then on the counter, he's going to run into the space, which is wide.
Yeah.
And obviously, as you mentioned,
but that's where you have to be able to play in your dimensions, and that's where if you're playing in a 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, it's the same principle. The idea is that whoever's playing as the left wing back, you should be halfway line in the middle. Smack bang in the middle of the pitch, so then anything that goes to the other side, you just shuffle across.
Yeah,
in theory, it's easier said than done. Like, don't get me wrong, but we didn't stick to that principle at all. It was a case of the ball is there, we sat so far back.
Yeah.
That's how I was getting on to Ashley Young, because he's just allowing crosses in. But to be fair to me, he had a good tournament.
Yeah. He did.
But to answer your question to me, Simi, I think for me, a football game is won in the midfield. That's the crunch of any game. Like, the midfield is where it's going to happen, it's where it's won and lost. Our midfield is not good enough, simple as that.
Mm.
Moving forward, looking at the players that we've got coming through, Cesar Young, kind of coming midfield, I don't know what you're going to call him, striker, winger, fullback, whatever you like. But you've got players like Baker, Sancho,
Maitland-Niles,
you've got Mount, hold on, you've still got my man. What's the other guy's name?
What's his name?
Just like that we're all talking about. Yeah, Foden.
Oh, yeah.
We've got players that are technically good. France have, was it Claire Fontaine? Yeah. They've got that set up. Mm. We now have St. George's Park.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing, but it's a step up.
We're getting there, yeah. And
England have had good success with all the youth players winning the World Cup at youth levels.
Yeah.
We have to give them the credit they deserve. It's not easy to kind of do that. Mm. But we're not going to reward them and start bringing them to the setup. Yeah. The only good thing is that having Southgate, he's managed the under 23s, 21s, etc. He knows how they play. Now bring them into the system, he's got the perfect opportunity. Yep. Euro 2020 is around the corner.
Yep.
And we've got this new UEFA Nations thing that they released.
That's wonderful.
So from September. That's international game time. They need to get into the system.
International game. That's what we've been
and most importantly, I think I credit Southgate for this 3-5-2 formation. Stick with it. Yep. Don't go and change your play because it's not suited to us. Look at the players that we've got. It's effectively the same thing though. The way football is played in the Prem, football is counter-attacking football in the Prem.
Yeah.
Most of our boys are playing in the Prem. So play to the standard that they're playing at. Yeah. There's no point in going to change it and us become a possession team when we don't play possession on a daily basis.
We don't have the talent.
If you play counter-attacking football, stick to that with the national team. Spain, most of the football there is possession-based. So they play possession football. It's exactly the same. If we can do that, get those young players in, England will have a very, very good team moving forward, on paper anyway.
The only problem I have is that these young players that we've mentioned, will they be able to develop in that 4 years' time? Do you see themselves... Because the only problem I have is the club sides, I don't know if we're going to give them the chance to get that development.
That's the thing, it's a risk. There's a chance everywhere. It's just if they can...
The chance is everywhere, but I mean, part of the problem is also the young players' fault as well, because other clubs abroad are interested in them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're not.
But there's a difference between playing abroad and getting experience and playing in England and getting experience. It's a very fine line.
100%, yeah. I know.
But I think at the end of the day, getting 90 minutes abroad is better than getting
90 minutes in championship.
Or 20 minutes in
England or in a championship.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's why I was happy when Reece Oxford went out, because it's another style of play. You learn while you're dead, isn't it? It's different exposure. But in saying that, these boys have the ability to break through. I don't see why they can't do it, personally. Mm. They need to be given the opportunity. You can't go in the back of winning a World Cup at international level, fair enough, youth level, but still at a high level, to come back into your club team and not even get a look in. I just don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I say that is because with club sides, there's so much pressure to perform that you're not going to invest all your efforts into a player that hasn't into someone that's still raw.
There's opportunities for players. Like, you have to look at people like Mbappe as well.
Yeah.
He's a great player. I'm not going to say he's shit, because Bowen means one of the best players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
but he's only 19.
Yeah.
He was given a chance. If you don't take the risk, you're never going to know it.
That's on the players to do that.
Yeah, they've got to show that they can deliver. Yeah. But look at Rashford.
I think that's on the players to do that. More than the managers.
Nah, because the managers...
Let me explain why.
Players like Mbappe, players like Martial at Monaco, you want to play. You're going to play how you want to play. Mm. Players like Pogba, if you want to play a certain type of football and the team doesn't allow you to play that style of football, you force a move. When you get on the pitch, when you get your chance, show that you're able to do that and effectively do the instructions that your manager has given you. He might say defend, he might say be disciplined.
Yeah.
But he's not saying don't create nothing.
Mm.
Just because he said, make sure you're 10, make sure you stick on Sanchez when we're playing, when United are playing Arsenal. Stick on Sanchez.
Yeah.
Don't let him get past you. Doesn't mean when you've got the ball, you shouldn't express yourself.
Yeah.
When you have the ball, it's on players to do.
But don't forget the pressure that comes with that. The instruction you were given was stick with Sanchez, don't let him get past you. So when you have the ball and you've got Sanchez pushing, pressing, you're not going to want to try express yourself, try to get past him or try to play a good ball. You're going to pass sideways to the easy, safe option to make sure that you have not lost the ball.
But that's on the player. That's not on the manager. The manager's given an instruction. Priority is defend.
Yeah.
But when you have the ball, you still try and create chances. It's like saying,
defender shouldn't go for a corner to score.
Exactly. Your job is what I mean?
It works both ways. Yeah. But there's a lot of pressure on managers to deliver. So that's why you have the risk of playing them.
Because look at the turnover of footballers in the Premier League every year is immense. Mm-hmm. You know, that you as a young player, you look at that, you're seeing players moving for 30, 40 million each year.
Mm.
And for example, look at West Ham. You know, in the last 7 years, how many strikers have you had in the last 7 years?
I mean, I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah, you've had
that
plenty.
Wasn't funny.
And I'm sure you probably have a young maybe under 18 striker. I don't know.
Martinez.
Exactly. Wow. You know, you probably have someone like that there who's probably waiting for his chance.
Yeah,
to
but
blood
for himself. Okay, I'll give you a prime example with him at youth level. Phenomenal, bangs in goals. First team ain't done shit. He hasn't really been given opportunity, but when he has played, he hasn't delivered.
So, but how can you?
So it's about bridging the gap. Yeah. But you're only going to get that. This is what I'm saying. People expect them to deliver instantly.
That's
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So
until you've had that experience, that exposure, and you actually settle in, then you can do it. To be fair to Rashford, I can't say he was fortunate, but he took his chance and took it very well.
Oh, he took it.
But I think now it's showing. At the time, he was on form, bang, 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 done. Now he's reached that stage where he's still a good footballer, but he's not quite hitting that same expectation.
Yeah. Reach that level.
And
it's not going to happen.
The problem,
we needed a certain type of player at that time. We're defending. It was under Van Gaal.
Yeah, it was.
Defending. We're trying to keep possession.
You needed a spark
somewhere.
We're doing
long passes.
Yeah.
Remember all of that stuff.
I love watching that, man.
Now we've got players like Matic that win the ball early and we try to play. We try to dominate the game, basically. Yeah. He's not able to just run. Now he has to think a lot more
disciplined. Yeah. You can see he's kind of playing with that anchor on his, you know,
that
anchor
a weight.
With England, you can see there was a lot more freedom. He was about, he was left, he was right, he was asking for it, he was scoring bangers against Costa Rica for fun. Do you know what I mean?
And also another problem as well is our media as well, because we expect so much of opposition as well, so you know.
English media can't even be a topic because they're just a disgrace.
They're a joke.
If they don't support, then they hate.
Yep.
If they don't hate, they're supporting.
Or they're over supporting.
Over supporting. So there's no fine balance.
There's never anything good that's come from their coverage or whatever, man. It's silly.
But the World Cup in general was a very, very big success. Very, very enjoyable.
Onto 4 years' time, I guess, guys.
No way, it's coming home from Europe.
We never said when, lads.
Well, now we'll move on to transfer news, because obviously transfer windows opened a few weeks ago, so a few moves have already made. So
off the back of the World Cup, though, who do you think will make a big move?
Off the back
of the World Cup.
I feel like that Golovin from Russia.
I think he's got Chelsea.
Apparently, wanted him at Napoli, so...
He's got his wish,
but I think he's a player that looks like no matter who he goes to, he's going to perform.
Yeah, he
like,
will.
He's got all the right attributes to be like that creative playmaker, goal scorer kind of player.
Yeah,
like,
you lot might laugh at this one. Vida, the Croatia centre back.
Liverpool are linked with him.
Liverpool linked with everyone, man.
No, but I can actually
see
him going to a Premier League club.
But he's not that good.
He's good.
Croatia had a good World Cup. He was just there.
But he was the better. Because
but he just
every
someone
time,
look at and be like,
the person I think was the best defender was Strinic, because he had to he's not good. He's not a good defender. He could get dumped. He held it up completely. People that are faster than him, he would have kept up.
Except for Mbappe, kind of like
Harry Maguire, anyone?
Yeah, I thought that.
Can I just say, when we've done the last podcast, I claimed it. I said Maguire's a baller.
Nah, Maguire will definitely. Well,
I think
if Leicester want to sell,
nah, he's not getting nowhere.
Which I don't think they will. He'll get.
But he's getting a new contract.
But I think if they do definitely sell, they should aim for like 40-50 mil.
50 mil.
I think they should cash in personally.
Yeah, because he's English and he's young and he's still got 4 years left on his contract.
Nah, but they can't cash in at him because they've got to build their squad again. Because Vardy's getting old now.
Yeah, Vardy's
gone. Mahrez is just gone.
Gone.
They're going to have to rebuild again. Got Demarai Gray, who I think now needs to step
City
up.
Demarai Gray has coasted for a while, for the last 2 years or so.
Ah, but in saying that, I think he was given a good run of games. Because the managers kept chopping and changing, so it's difficult to get anything out of him. Personally, I think he'll be one for the England future.
Yeah. Demarai,
I think Terrell might get a side. From
Colombia.
Good shout. He had a good tournament.
He was a good player.
Yeah.
Yuri Mina's been in like the papers. I don't see what the hype is about.
Nah, technically he's not great.
He reminds me of Johan Brew.
He's
another
one.
He reminds me of
that guy.
No. But listen. Come on, Mina. Like, do you know the centre backs that have the potential to just get ripped? And the thing is, when they're just clumsy about it. Like, someone will do a step over and they'll twist over and fall down. Like, because they're just lanky and yeah.
Nah, but he looked good because of their style of play. He's fast. He's aggressive. He just in your face. He's just a bitch.
I'm so surprised Barcelona bought him.
Yeah, but you know,
yeah.
Barca by everyone, man.
Yeah.
Even look at Paulinho. Paulinho's gone.
He's gone already.
They're not going to play.
Yeah, them French dons.
No, one Meadow guy and Lenglet. Clement Lenglet.
Oh, yeah.
Lenglet is a decent player.
Lenglet is decent.
The other guy is just going there. For what reason? I don't know.
What's he doing again? Arthur. I mean, they still
say Meadow.
Apparently,
Arthur's good, though.
Arthur's a player.
Yeah.
Apparently, Arthur's really good.
That's why Paulinho had to leave, apparently.
He's a player.
To make
room. Right, Alisson, though. What's that? 60 is the most
expensive
keeper. Like, come
that's
on.
A bump.
It's a bump.
Roma just...
It's the guy, man.
They get taxed.
It's a bump.
Why are Liverpool getting taxed all the time?
Because they know they've got money.
You left with 35 mil.
Who left for 35
mil? Courtois.
Game of June.
And yeah, it's someone that's known
apparently has Courtois in the as well.
Yeah,
it's because we're a Premier League club. We're going to get bumped anyway.
No, but it's almost like Liverpool sitting in the negotiation room.
To be fair,
there's no sense. They accept anything.
Was that you want 60? We have 67.
It is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? 67, the last offer. Like,
that's to be fair, I think Alisson just signed a contract.
Okay.
So that might be.
They get you to sign that contract when they know there's an interest. You're not signing a contract for
them. And it's in the best interest of both parties, both Roma and Alisson, because he's getting a pay bump for signing on.
Yeah. And obviously, more money in the bank for Roma.
No one's buying an Alisson shirt at Liverpool.
Nah.
As opposed to credit to Juventus, to be honest, I didn't think spending 105 mil Ronaldo was wise just because of his age. There's no sell-on value, but they made 55 mil back off shirt.
Yeah, it doesn't
go towards.
That's what they made off shirt sales alone. That's what I'm saying.
5%, only 5%
goes to the club.
Oh, of course. But they're still making money back.
Whoever produced the shirts.
But for them, it's the media that they're going to get from all the other attention.
The league is definitely going to get a lot of attention. Because even me myself, I'm probably going to tune more to Juve a lot more.
BT have lost the rights to Serie A.
I mean, BT has just used the rights to everything.
How it's going to be shown that some
they need to put Champions League back on ITV.
They really do, man.
They need to ASAP. BT have just
CristianoRonaldo.net.
That's the plan.
I don't know what that is, but
if you know, then you know. It's them ones there. That's a good move for all parties once again, for Juventus, Real Madrid.
That shows you that 80 million that Real Madrid played in Italy is probably the best 80 million ever.
World football.
And it was just before prices start getting stupid.
Yeah, it did.
That's probably the reason.
Yeah,
that's probably the reason, because once you start paying 80 mil for someone, that's worth 80 mil. People will be like, very cheap.
At the time, for what you were getting from him, that's that. Now, you're paying 67 million for a keeper that. He's not a bad
Let me give you this question now.
If Ronaldo, because Ronaldo back then was 23, right, when he moved? 23?
Oh, he's older than that.
24.
He's been at Madrid for
For 10 years, he was.
Just under 10. Yeah.
So how old is he now?
33.
Oh, shit. Well, okay. All right, so Ronaldo at 25.
If he was 25 today and he moved to Real Madrid, how much would you think he would have cost?
$250 million. Yeah, more than Neymar, Neymar plus.
How much is Neymar?
Oh, it was $200 million, I swear.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I can't lie. Ronaldo's going for like $250 to $270 million.
I'm not. Yeah. Ronaldo is just the best. I'm sorry. We're not getting onto transfers. A man that's played in every league and is going to dominate Italy as well. I'm not gonna lie, when I started watching football, Italy was a sport. Del Piero.
Oh yeah.
That's where elite football was. So all them men that are saying Maradona was the best, I can't really speak argue for them because
Italy that's was their a time. Sport.
Yeah. Napoli was they were popping them days. Yeah. So now that Ronaldo's done in England, done in Portugal, done in England, gone to Spain. In my opinion, dominated.
100%.
He's dominated Europe.
Well,
right from the get.
You can't say he's dominated.
You can't say he's dominated Spain. With two league titles, that's not dominated Spain.
With someone else on his shoulder as well. He left a little bit of mess.
Guys,
his transfers.
Anyway.
Because he'll go very left if he goes to
dominate again and probably win them. The Champions League.
They've been yearning for.
But the thing is, that what I want to know is how that affects the rest of the Juve.
If Szczesny doesn't shake it for them.
Because Mandzukic, Dybala, someone has to cut them.
Oh yeah, Mandzukic is going.
Higuain might go.
Apparently, to Chelsea or Milan.
Leave
well.
After
do you know how sick a combination that would be? Ronaldo and Dybala up front.
If you're Cuadrado, you'll be...
Do you know how dirty that would be? Do you know how dirty that would be? Dybala, Ronaldo up front. That's going to be disgusting. But... Go on, any other
As we're talking about transfer, it's really right that I, you know...
Talk about
my little piece.
Amos! Oh, it's.
Can I just say...
Go on.
Damien Sullivan, you fucking legend.
But you got rid of the pitch not long ago, like...
But that's why, but you see what happens.
I'm not...
You make noise and you get results. It's not Arsenal where you sit there in your fucking library with your library card and make little noise.
And it's Arsenal.
Nothing gets done.
Stan Kroenke,
then happen. Look what happened.
No, I can't lie. Socrates is a decent signing.
Yeah, Leno.
You like Leno?
Mustafi, because before Mustafi was going to be a good defender, but
I think
Mustafi's on his way up.
I want to give Mustafi a chance this
Mustafi
year. Now he's got.
Wait, hold on. Let me say why.
Potentially.
People said Phil Jones was good. He's not good! He is shit! I take Mustafi over Phil Jones. Every single
Arsenal, we've got a problem because we've got plenty. If no one's leaving, which looks like it, we've got a lot of centre backs.
Welbeck is going to go. I don't think we're selling anyone from that guy.
Welbeck's got
about a year left. Ospina is probably going to go, or Czech. Hopefully it's Czech, but you know, obviously you lot made a good point about Czech being, you know, very good and experience teaching Leno, blah blah blah. But in terms of trimming the squad, I don't think we're losing any CBs.
Holding
and Chambers both signed a contract.
Okay, Chambers holding, Socrates, Mustafi,
yep.
Koscielny. And then we've also got that
Mavropanos.
Koscielny's still only got one Achilles.
You have to manage.
I think Holden or Chambers, one of them has to go out and learn.
Yeah.
They're not.
I think
one of them will.
I'll take Chambers on the offer.
He's about to start like eating into his pension, so you know, I think we're gonna see Socrates playing quite a lot, Mustafi playing quite a lot. Mavropanos being like the replacement, because obviously I think
Chambers and Holding are way up. I know, look, what we saw from Mavropanos was sick. It was good. 2 games, 3 games, yeah, he got sent off, blah, blah, blah. It's too much hype. Like, he's good. There's potential.
I'm not saying he's a good player. Chambers and Holding are still above him. To kind of give him that guidance.
The
Greek connection, one. Yeah. Like, he can be like that arm around the shoulder. So I think that's what he's mainly being brought in for. Then obviously there's Lucas Torreira. Hopefully, he does what it says on the tin.
He's the guy we've been looking for 6 years, man. We've needed Torreira. Now we have him. We've actually got someone to protect our defence rather than Coquelin, who does 360 spins off the back.
Well, I would have wanted on Zonzi.
Oh, can't lie. If you're getting Zonzi, I'm claiming it now. We're winning the league.
West Ham.
Dinner left on. Claim it.
I'm from a bloody bubble.
No, but do you know what? Yeah, I have to actually have.
My dreams, they fall and die.
He's not there. If he's there, I'll put money in it. But no. For us, I think it's just been a good.
It's been good.
Great transfer window. Two centre backs in, one with immense quality that I've seen Diop. Balbuena I haven't really seen, so I can't judge, but from what I've heard, it looks good. But yeah, Diop, watched him a little bit, decent. Very, very happy with that. Fredericks, Fulham, he done well. I'm not the most excited about him, but if he steps up, he's got pace and that, but Johnny is just because he's come from a championship. Like, Prem is a different ballgame.
My only concern with signings is Everton. The Everton effect. I know you try,
the problem with Everton was they bought the players, but they didn't
have the manager.
They didn't have the manager to implement these players into an actual system.
No. The manager brought in the wrong players. The
manager brought
that's right. Sorry,
the boardroom wanted players. Manager wanted players. Koeman wanted David Klaassen. The people in the club wanted Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Hal Sigurdsson ended up there.
Very good.
Hal Sigurdsson ended up there.
Because literally at one point, they were playing like five midfielders.
Five central midfielders. Even if they're attacking or whatever,
defensive. It doesn't matter which one.
All there.
Playing
all
there.
Now both of them are gone. Rooney and Klaassen are gone.
Oh, yeah. Klaassen's gone as well.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
It's going to Dutch.
Was it Italy or was it back to Ajax
or something?
I think the sign of the season, for me personally, you guys probably differ, is Pellegrini himself. For me, it takes us to a new level. Like, we haven't had players like Anderson. Yeah, we've had Payet, but don't forget Payet came at what, 10 to 12 mil, 15 mil?
Would you take Payet back?
No.
Wait. Seriously, you would not take Payet back?
I'll take Payet. If I was West Ham, I'd take
Payet. West Ham fan, I've asked that question.
Don't get wrong, I loved him. He's, for me, still one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I can't take him back.
Why?
Pride.
Bro,
come off it.
Let me tell you why.
Payet is one of the best West Ham players.
He's become an injury.
Yeah.
And I can't value that commitment back. I don't see it. Nah.
West Ham. He's the first West Ham.
Okay, hold on. Take it back at what cost? Because Marseille, if they're gonna sell, they're not gonna sell for 20 million more. He's 31. I'm not paying more than 20 mil. We saw him for 20 mil when he was a good player.
He's still a baller, but he's now
31.
I was 31. 2 years left.
You're not paying 20 mil for him at all.
That's my point. If we're to get him at 15 mil,
Marseille will have to send him less than Aves.
To be honest, 100%.
I think signing of the season is Arsenal's manager.
Unai Emery.
But that's expected though.
We're
not expected to get Pellegrini in what world?
But we weren't expected to get Emery either.
But you were expected to get a world class manager, full stop.
Fair enough, world class manager, but perfect for Arsenal.
Oh, I agree.
Perfect to take Arsenal to a different
direction. Pellegrini is perfect for us.
I'm a United fan. I don't know if Pellegrini is going to be there in February. That's what I'm saying.
You can see Ben's
here. It's true.
Anyway.
It could still go. For me, it's going to take time.
Let me say this. No one's expecting it is the result. It's going to take time.
February,
so February, you have to be there.
Because of your fans, I know West Ham fans are like, I know it's a new stadium. It's still...
Work in progress.
But this is what I'm saying. What we wanted was change in terms of finances because we have money to spend, as we're now seeing. But money wasn't being spent. It was being spent.
So how do you feel if you spend the money?
No, it's not that we're not patient. What is annoying is that when we left Upton Park, we were told trying to aim for Champions League.
Yeah.
You're pretty good, minimum. No, but hold on. In terms of building. Building as a club, that's what I mean, where we're getting to. Don't laugh because City are now there. Tottenham are now there. So you can't laugh. Arsenal aren't even there, so Arsenal. But that's the principle.
We don't want to be there, man. So I'm ready to now
you grow as a club. The first season we moved, we signed average players but made it work.
Mm-hmm.
The second season, you've just got more money coming in because you just had more revenue. We didn't buy anyone.
Mm.
We actually didn't buy.
Yeah.
We just got freebies. Yeah. There was no money spent. The stadium itself wasn't great in terms of West Hamification, if you want to call it. It just didn't feel like there's anything to do with us there.
The issue now is that
we've now made noise, complained, and now they're actually doing something about it. And now they're doing something about it is when it counts. Because now you can see the top manager's come in, he's trying to bring youth into the system. He's got good players, Anderson, Yarmolenko, Wilshere. We never got these players 2 years ago. It would never happen. Good. I think he's decent. He wasn't my signing personally, but
you guys
he's dead.
On William Carvalho there.
Oh, yeah, 50-50 with him though.
Real Betis.
Betis, yeah.
How?
I don't understand.
But your point comes from the
point that you made, yeah, about him not being there February. I see where you're coming from. We're not patient, but they will back him. They have no choice
because they have to back him.
He's now changing.
He's bigger than
West Ham. I just think.
I'm
bigger than the West Ham.
Not even that. Stop it.
He's bigger than West Ham. Just
you never heard that.
Especially from the disappointment of Arsenal fans for however long, 12 years, whatever.
He brings a level of balance and excitement.
I think Arsenal will be contenders this season.
I completely agree.
All up in there for everyone. Every top 16.
Bar Tottenham.
Nah. At the moment, and I'm saying at the moment because I
never really invested though.
I hope
Son's Jack Grealish, not even that.
But Son's going away, whatever.
It talks.
If they get Quintero, they kind of fill the void of Son not being there, but they haven't really invested. But the other teams, United haven't really invested either. So, and Mourinho's on his last leg. Like, if he fucks up this time,
then it's Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think Arsenal, City, Liverpool are going to fight for everything. So, for me, Unai Emery, he's done a lot for Arsenal. He's literally picked out the problematic areas, bought a sign in each problematic area, and he's finding, for me, Ramsey is one of your best players.
100%.
And he's finally giving him the credit.
Shut up. Don't ever disrespect
him
the
credit that he deserves and allowing him to play. I don't know how he's going
to
implement Ozil, but I want to see
how he does that.
Okay. And on that note, we're wrapping up a very good episode of Team Talk.
West Ham Europa League, just saying.
Okay, so find us on Twitter, Team Talk LDN. All our content's on there. So, peace.
Peace.
Get love. Following.